Chapter 49. In 10 minutes they were steaming out of the harbor for their voyage of 4 or 5 hours, at whose ending she would have to tell her strange story. As Pen Zephyr and all its environing scenes disappeared behind Mousehole and St. Clement's Isle, Baptista's ephemeral, meteor-like husband impressed her, yet more as a fantasy. She was still in such a trance-like state, that as he had been an hour on the little packet boat, before she became aware of the agitating fact that Mr. Hedigan was on board with her. Involuntarily she slipped from her left hand the symbol of her wifehood. Hee. Well, the truth is, I wouldn't interrupt thee. Reckon she don't see me, or won't see me, I said, and what's the hurry? She'll see enough o' me soon. I hope he be well, me dear. Apostrophe, he was a hale, well-conditioned man of about 55, of the complexion common to those whose lives are passed on the bluffs and beaches of an ocean isle. He extended the four quarters of his face in a genial smile, and his hand for a grasp of the same magnitude. She gave her own in surprised docility, and he continued. I couldn't help coming across to meet thee. What an unfortunate thing you missing the boat, and not coming Saturday. They meant to have warned thee that the time was changed, but forgot it at the last moment. The truth is that I should have informed thee myself, but I was that busy finishing up a job last week, so as to have this week free, that I trusted to your father for attending to these little things. However, so plain and quiet as it is all to be, it really do not matter, so much as it might otherwise have done, and I hope ye haven't been greatly put out. Now, if you'd sooner, that I should not be seen talking to ye, if ye feel shy at all before strangers just say, I'll leave ye to yourself till we get home. Apostrophe, thank you much. I am indeed a little tired, Mr. Hedigan. Apostrophe, he nodded urbane acquiescence, strolled away immediately, and minutely inspected the surface of the funnel, till some female passengers of Giant's Town tittered at what they must have thought a rebuff, for the approaching wedding was known to many on St. Maria's Island, though to nobody elsewhere. Baptista colored at their satire, and called him back, and forced herself to commune with him in at least a mechanically friendly manner. The opening event had been thus different from her expectation, and as he had adumbrated no act to meet it. Taken aback, she passively allowed circumstances to pilot her along, and so the voyage was made. It was near dusk when they touched the pier of Giant's Town, where several friends and neighbors stood awaiting them. Her father had a lantern in his hand. Her mother, too, was there, reproachfully glad that the delay had at last ended so simply. Mrs. Truthen and her daughter went together along the Giant's Walk, or promenade, to the house, rather in advance of her husband and Mr. Hedigan, who talked in loud tones which reached the women over their shoulders. Some would have called Mrs. Truthen a good mother, but though well-meaning she was maladroit, and her intentions missed their mark. This might have been partly attributable to the slight deafness from which she suffered. Now, as usual, the chief utterances came from her lips. Ah, yes, I'm so glad, my child, that you've got over safe. It is all ready, and everything so well arranged, that nothing but misfortune could hinder you settling as, with God's grace, becomes ye. Close to your mother's door, amist, 'twill be a great blessing, I'm sure. And I was very glad to find from your letters that you'd held your word sacred. That's right, make your word your bond always. Mrs. Wace seems to be a sensible woman. I hope the Lord will do for her as he's doing for you no long time hence. And how did he get over the terrible journey from Tor-upon-Sea to Pen Zephyr? Once you'd done with the railway, of course, you seemed quite at home. Well, Baptista, conduct yourself seemly, and all will be well. Apostrophe, apostrophe, thus admonished, Baptista entered the house, her father and Mr. Hedigan immediately at her back. Her mother had been so didactic, that as he had felt herself absolutely unable to broach the subjects in the center of her mind. The familiar room, with the dark ceiling, the well-spread table, the old chairs, had never before spoken so eloquently of the times either she knew or had heard of Charlie Stowe. She went upstairs to take off her things, her mother remaining below to complete the disposition of the supper and attend to the preparation of tomorrow's meal, altogether composing such an array of pies, from pies of fish to pies of turnips, as was never heard of outside the Western Duchy. Baptista, once alone, sat down and did nothing, and was called before as he had taken off her bonnet. "I'm coming," apostrophe she cried, jumping up, and speedily disabrolling herself, brushed her hair with a few touches and went down. Two or three of Mr. Hedigan's and her father's friends had dropped in and expressed their sympathy for the delay as he had been subjected to. The meal was a most merry one except to Baptista. As he had desired privacy, and there was none, and to break the news was already a greater difficulty than it had been at first. Everything around her, animate and inanimate, great and small, insisted that she had come home to be married, and she could not get a chance to say nay. One or two people sang songs, as overtures to the melody of the morrow, till at length bedtime came, and they all withdrew, her mother having retired a little earlier. When Baptista found herself again alone in her bedroom, the case stood as before. As he had come home with much to say, and as he had said nothing. It was now growing clear even to herself that Charles being dead, she had not determination sufficient within her to break tidings which, had he been alive, would have imperatively announced themselves. And thus with the stroke of midnight came the turning of the scale, her story should remain untold. It was not that upon the whole she thought it best not to attempt to tell it, but that she could not undertake so explosive a matter. To stop the wedding now would cause a convulsion in Giant's Town little short of volcanic. Weakened, tired, and terrified as he had been by the day's adventures, she could not make herself the author of such a catastrophe. But how refuse Hedigan without telling? It really seemed to her, as if her marriage with Mr. Hedigan were about to take place, as if nothing had intervened. Morning came. The events of the previous days were cut off from her present existence by scene and sentiment more completely than ever. Charles Stowe had grown to be a special being of whom, owing to his character, she entertained rather fearful than loving memory. Baptista could hear when she awoke that her parents were already moving about downstairs. But she did not rise till her mother's rather rough voice resounded up the staircase as it had done on the preceding evening. "Baptista! Come, time to be stirring. The man will be here, by heaven's blessing, in 3/4 of an hour. He has looked in already for a minute or two, and says he's going to the church to see if things be well forward." Apostrophe apostrophe, Baptista arose, looked out of the window, and took the easy course. When she emerged from the regions above she was arrayed in her new silk frock and best stockings, wearing a linen jacket over the former for breakfasting, and her common slippers over the latter, not to spoil the new ones on the rough precincts of the dwelling. It is unnecessary to dwell at any great length on this part of the morning's proceedings. She revealed nothing, and married Hedigan, as he had given her word to do, on that appointed August day. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.